You're listening to Radio Boston. I'm Tiziana Dearing. This year marks the 250th anniversary of the Boston Tea Party. But did you know that there was a lot more than tea on that ship that those rebels boarded in disguise? Like Phyllis Wheatley's first published work of poems. Wheatley had accomplished several firsts with that publication. And now, playwright Adeola Sholanka has teamed up with the nonprofit Revolutionary Spaces to tell a tale of Wheatley's quest to retrieve hundreds of copies of her book off the ship. And this is as the Tea Party tensions are boiling over. Phyllis in Boston takes place in, and it's performed at, the Old South Meeting House. Adeola is on the line from London. Welcome.
Hi. Thank you. Nice to be here.
It's great to have you. We also have in Studio 2, Adriana Jean-Louis, who plays Phyllis in the play, and Nat Scheidley, President and CEO of Revolutionary Spaces. Adriana, welcome.
Welcome. Thank you for having me.
Great to have you, Nat. Welcome to you as well.
Thanks so much.
So I've seen the play. There's so much to talk about here. I do want to start in the history. Let's start with who Phyllis Wheatley was. As the playwright, Adeola, who was she to you?
Oh my goodness, an inspiration. And as I've worked on this project now for almost 9-10 years, I've realized I'm not the only one who's inspired by her story. I'm really honored to help Boston and America celebrate this really fascinating and quite salutary figure. She was a young woman who was kidnapped from West Africa as a child, around 7, we think, and kidnapped on a ship called the Phyllis, from which she was named after. And she arrived in 1761, and within a few years was, having not obviously spoken any English before then, why would she? Within a few years, she was reading and writing in the language. And that's an achievement for anyone who's had to struggle learning a second language. But we have to also factor in the fact that she went through the Middle Passage. So the ardor and trauma of that awful journey, in spite of that, she was able to collect herself and develop herself. And eventually, having been published in Boston publications for many, many years, she went on, as you said in your intro, to be published as the first African-American to publish a book of poetry in English. I always stress in English. Obviously, there was poetry published and written in African languages. But she's fascinating because of all these different reasons. Her work itself is outstanding. But her story is also, I think, a testament to what people can do and endure and overcome. Although her life ended quite sadly, I think the thing that inspired me was the way she persisted as today, women writers like myself persist in spite of the obstacles we find in the fields we're working in. I was also motivated to do the work when I was a student, actually, in Los Angeles many years ago. And when I first heard of her, I immediately chimed because her book was published in London and I was working as an African woman writer abroad in Los Angeles.
So I'll pick it up there. Adriana, two things first. According to the Smithsonian, this is how they describe her. In 1773, Phyllis Wheatley accomplished something that no other woman of her status had done. When her book of poetry, poems on various subjects, religious and moral, appeared, she became the first American slave, the first person of African descent, and only the third colonial American woman to have her work published. And to further underscore what we just heard, I'm going to play a little sound of Massachusetts Congresswoman Ayanna Pressley reading as Phyllis Wheatley for the Talking Statues Project as part of the Women's Heritage Trail here in Boston.
They named me Phyllis after the ship on which I arrived. The Wheatley children, Mary and Nathaniel, must have thought me something of a pet. They marveled that I could be taught their language, their alphabet, and quite soon, reading and writing. Mrs. Wheatley recognized my intrinsic ardor for words and encouraged my study and my writing. I composed poems on the events of their family and social circle, the marriages, births, illnesses, and deaths.
So I'm watching you play, Phyllis Wheatley, and I'm thinking, what is the responsibility? How do you think about bringing forward Phyllis Wheatley?
Yes, this Phyllis Wheatley was just, she's just a remarkable woman. And I think Ade does a very beautiful job at illustrating her journey throughout the story, throughout the text. For me personally, I've never heard of Phyllis Wheatley, which is not really a good thing. But as I've studied her work, I've studied her story. Her journey for me has been a sense of enlightenment, because as Ade spoke about her passage, the fact that she was trafficked for 250 days on the ship Phyllis, and the fact that she was even taught at such a young age, within the 6 month span of her being sold from the Wheatleys, she studied Latin and Greek. Her story was just beyond remarkable, and it just shows me the resilience that she had as a woman, and how much freedom meant to her in those times.
So, Nat, the other thing that really struck me about Phyllis in Boston was sitting in this historic space, right? Sitting in the Old South Meeting House, watching a play take place, and the work of the play itself also is conscious of, takes place in the Old South Meeting House, and the role that it, this physical space, plays in our history. And that was, in a really good way, kind of a mind bender of the moment, and really quite intentional.
That's right. These witness sites, right? We're fortunate in our organization to care for two witness sites, the Old State House and Old South Meeting House. They're a tangible connection between that moment 250 years ago where our nation took shape and the nation that we live in today. And I think part of our work is really about inviting people to use the history that lives in these spaces to make change today, to imagine the future that we want to live in tomorrow. And this play is really part of that, and it's leveraging Phyllis's story. It's leveraging the beautiful work of the artists involved with the project, both Ade as the writer and the fantastic cast that we have. And it's leveraging all of those pieces as an invitation to people to realize that the work that took place in that space is unfinished, right? There were many struggles for liberty, and we feel them when we sit in the building, and the play brings them to life in such a powerful way. But I hope that it also calls on us to continue the work, right? To see ourselves as part of that story, as characters in a story that's not yet finished being written.
We're here with the playwright, the lead actress, and the nonprofit partner in this play, Phyllis in Boston, which is part of the 250th anniversary of the Boston Tea Party, is written and takes place in the Old South Meeting House. I want to pick up now on this idea that Nat just laid out of sort of history meeting the imagination. And here's what I want to do. I'm going to have Adriana read a little bit. And then Ade, as the playwright, I'm going to come back to you about this question of using the imagination. These are words you wrote. So sure. First, over to you, Adriana.
The sight of that ship, that wharf? I avoid going anywhere near there, that wharf. You were born here, but I was brought here to that very place on a ship like that. Yes, I know it's a whaler, not a slave ship, but they changed the use of ships sometimes. And I smelled, or maybe I imagined it, but that stench lasts forever. And every time I see one of those ships, my blood runs cold. I remember landing at that wharf and coming out of the hold into the light, and the smell of fish, and mostly the way people looked at me or through me. Everything that made me was invisible. Everything I was erased. Now I was only a color. Only my color mattered. My color making me into a thing for sale, for use. Everything summed up now before I spoke. Nothing to say. My skin had spoken. So I felt like I was back in that hold with the rats and the pipes and the clinging chains. In the dark, waiting, praying for someone to come rescue me. Trapped, captive, like my books now are.
Thank you for that beautiful reading. And of course, Ade's speaking about the ship that's holding her poems, which are her source of freedom. I mean, there is so much going on in that one passage. Every step of this play is marrying imagination and history and the clash of one narrative, our narrative of the Boston Tea Party, and another that we try to hide from, which is Boston's narrative, the truth of our slave history.
Yeah, I mean, again, thank you for that, Adriana. I wrote the words and I'm feeling my blood run cold listening to that because it evokes me the memory of enslaved people. I grew up in London. I'm a proud Londoner, but I have to say, obviously, I'm not proud of everything that London's been, which has included being the center of the slave trade for centuries. And we're wrestling and grappling with the legacies of slavery, just as Bostonian Americans are. So the story is about, obviously, an American figure, but it's a global story. She was born in Africa, she lived in America, and she came to London. And I'm connecting my experience as a contemporary African diasporan. I was born in London, as I mentioned earlier. Both my parents are Nigerian, and they came in the 50s and 60s as students. So I'm leaning into my African heritage, having lived in America, as I said previously, I have an American story inside. And then I'm combining it with my lived experience as a born and bred Londoner and imagining, reimagining Phyllis in London 250 years ago. I'm kind of walking in her footsteps. A few weeks ago, I was at Benjamin Franklin House in Charing Cross. And as you may know, Phyllis was visited by Mr. Franklin when she was in London in June and July of 73. And she was a celebrity. So what we know is that she was acknowledged as a genius and feted as a celebrity in London. But at the same time, the convoluted and ridiculous contrast of having that celebrity and also being enslaved. So as a work of imagination, my job, my task, my brief is to put myself in her shoes and try to bring to life the conflicts. And as a dramatist, what we live by is making a drama out of a crisis, creating emotional experiences for audiences from the crises and the conflicts that characters feel. So we don't know much about Phyllis's own experience directly because she wrote many poems, but none except one about her own lived experience where she referred to her father. And that's also something I quote in the play.
Yeah.
It's a work of based on history, and thank goodness for Nat and his colleagues and other historians who've really helped me get to grips with the actual, you know, the actuality of the Boston history and Old South history. But I'm making material, making up material, which is also my job as a dramatic artist, to bring the story to life for audiences who obviously may or may not know much about her particular story or the Tea Party story. They know what it is to be a person in conflict.
We'll say goodbye there. That was Adele Solanka, playwright of Phyllis in Boston. We've also had with us Adriana Jean-Louis, who plays Phyllis, and Nat Scheidle, president and CEO of Revolutionary Spaces. Hope you go see the play. Thanks to all of you.
Thank you.
Thank you.